And he's led me to the scriptures that we're going to be talking about this morning. But before we get started, I want to open up with prayer because, and as kids can be dismissed for children's church. They don't let me do this much on Sunday mornings. I usually... Okay, anybody need, before we get started, does anybody need a Bible? Or bulletin? If you do, raise your hand because, well, we will have it on the. I'd rather you be in the Bible, looking right into the Bible at the scripture. Okay, we're going to have a word of prayer. As I open up with prayer, I'd like for everybody to be praying for me that I won't be the one doing this sermon this morning. That the Holy Spirit would be doing it through me because I'm not good at sermons, I'll tell you. So what you're going to hear this morning is the Holy Spirit speaking through me. It's going to be a conversation between me and the Holy Spirit and you. Just pray that my ears will be open, my mind will be focused on Him, not you. I want to know what He has to say to you this morning. I don't want you to hear what I got to say this morning. Father, we just come to you this morning on behalf of every person sitting here. Lord, you know who's here. You know why they're here. You brought them here. You know what it is each person needs to hear this morning. Lord, you chose me to do this sermon. So, Lord, I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me boldly. And, Lord, I just want to say what it is you want me to say to each and every person sitting in this room. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Like I said, I asked God earlier in the week, what did He want me to speak about? And if you'll go ahead and turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 6, that's where we're going to begin. Luke chapter 6. I realized this morning when I got up that I didn't have a name for my sermon. And I had to come up with a name. Well, God put it to me this way. Just put, is God talking to you? The title is a question. Is God talking to you? And I want each and every person sitting here this morning to pay attention, close attention to what's being said. And answer that question for yourself. I can't answer it for you. The person on the side beside you can't answer it for you. And we're going to start this message out with a scripture that's also a question. We're going to start with Luke 6. We're going to start with verse 46. Verse 46. The verse goes like this. And remember, this is red letters, so it's Jesus Christ talking. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I say? Now, I'm sure this is not for many of you in here. I'm sure everybody in here has got your act together and you're doing everything God tells you to. If this is not for you, it's for me. So I'm preaching to me. But I want you to listen to it anyway. You see, God puts me up here, and if I don't tell you something that God tells me to tell you, and I get to heaven, and He points out either one of you that was left behind because I didn't say what I'm supposed to say, I can't handle that. See, I love each and every person in this room. This message may not be for you, but I'm sure it's for somebody in this room, or I wouldn't be doing it this morning. And I don't want to be the cause of somebody not making it to heaven. As you know, we're in times bad times. When you look around you and you see what's going on in the world today, you should know what time we're in. The Bible makes that very clear. No, we don't know what hour or what day the Lord's coming back. But the Bible does tell you that you can know this, know that the time. He gives you everything in that book to look for when time is near. If you only cut your television sets on and look at your news, it's all around us. Everywhere you look, you see the signs. The Bible clearly states, when you see all these things happening at once, that generation, our generation, will not leave until the return of Christ. Believe that if you want to. That's up to you. I believe that. I believe what the Bible tells me. We don't have much time. And pastors can't stand behind the pulpits anymore and talk about prosperity. We need to be telling you about Jesus Christ, why He died on the cross. He's coming back, and He's coming back for His children. Amen? It says, I will show you what He is like. He who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. When He did the offering, He made a statement. We get where we do the offering. It's a ritual. Why do we come to church on Sunday morning? Is it a ritual? That is because Christians are supposed to show up to church on Sunday morning? Do we actually come to worship our God? Do we come to hear His word, His real word? The one where He's crying out to His children? It's time to go home. It's getting short. Straighten your lives out. Do we come in and listen and then walk out that door and forget everything we've heard? Do you listen to Tim every Sunday morning and then walk out the door and do your thing the rest of the week? Thinking you're going to come back next Sunday and hear another pretty sermon? Is that all it is? Pretty sermons? Because if it is, me or Tim, either one is doing any good up here. We're not doing you any good. We're not doing ourselves any good. And we're definitely not doing God no good. I will not be a preacher like that. I'm going to let you know how important this book is. From this moment on, anytime you hear me, I will tell you the truth of what this Bible says. You believe it or you not believe it. I'm going to do my job. Because I will not be responsible for leaving you behind. You can not listen to me. You can turn your back on me, go out that door and do whatever you want to do. Live your life any way you want to. But not because I told you it was okay. Sin is not okay. I don't care what form it is. Or how you make it, fancy it up, make it look good. When you walk out them doors, you're a child of God. And you're supposed to act like a child of God. Amen? And that's what God wants you to know this morning. It goes on, this is the wise and the foolish builders. And it goes on, I'm not going to take time to read all of it, but what it goes on to do, it tells you how wise you are when you take the Word of God. And the foundation that's laid out for you, which is Jesus Christ. And you take the Word and you get in the Word and study the Word. And let that Word get into you. And then you take that Word and you apply it to your life. And you let it work on you every day of your life. You let that Word lead you in your daily walk. Whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're dealing with your co-workers, whether you're dealing with your family. You let that Word work in you. But you can't do it by coming here and listening to a sermon and walking out the door and forgetting everything you heard. You can't do it by going all week without opening this book up and reading the book. Not only reading, meditating. Meditating. What does this mean, God? What does it mean to me? And then putting it in your life and living your life that way. We've got so many churches now that's not telling what this book is all about. It's about you and me. And how much God loves us. And God does love us. He loves us so much. He sent His Son to die for us. He left us a book, an instruction book, telling us how to live our life every day. Every day. Are we doing that? I'm sure you are. But there's sometimes I need it. There's sometimes I got to remember what I've read. Sometimes I need help. That's what the Holy Spirit is in me for. See, He helps me get through the day. He helps me to control my temper. He helps me to take care of attitude problems I may have, that somebody may come up and say something wrong and I may want to call for attitude. I got the Holy Spirit that stopped me from letting that attitude make a fool out of me and Him. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you this morning? Do you let the Holy Spirit lead you? Are you in His Word? You know, I speak about this all the time, but God's not letting you go. He keeps bringing this up with me. There's got to be a reason. Somebody's not reading the Bible. No matter how much you talk about the Bible and how important the Bible is, people are not in the Bible. They're not living by the Bible. Oh, yeah, they're going to church. I got to keep moving on. But anyway, it talks about how wise you are when you build your life up on the foundation, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. See, when you take the Word of God and you apply it to your life, it's with you wherever you go. It helps you live your life according to what it says. Without that Word and without the Spirit, you can't do that. I can't do that. We need both. First of all, you're not saved unless you have the Holy Spirit in you. And you're not going to understand the Bible anyway. But then once you get saved, you need His Word. That's how He talks to you. I've mentioned this before. But today He wants me to bring it out and make sure you understand what I'm saying. But anyway, He took me there, and then He took, also, we left there. We went, He took me to, which is off this scripture, Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. Another question. No, I think that back is a statement. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, we got one question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you to do? Then you got another statement, saying that all that calls Him Lord is not going to make it to heaven. Who are we talking about? He's talking to the saved, the unsaved. When he said this, there was a lot of people listening to Him. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me this morning? Or when I was talking to Him. There's people coming into our churches who really think they're saved, but they're not. Now, can I tell you who that is? No. I don't know. Only you know that. You know, if you listen to some of the preachers on television and how they just offer this prayer, you know, come forth and just say this prayer with me, and we believe here at this church you are saved. Do I believe in that prayer? Yes, I do. Without a doubt, I believe in it. But it's more than just saying some words. First off, the Holy Spirit is the one that leads you to Christ. I mean, to God. It's Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit. He begins before you even walk in this church, and I've spoke this before. He starts in your daily lives. He starts to deal with you. That's the reason you're in the church today. He led you here. I didn't leave you here. Tim didn't lead you here. God led you. When it comes to the time when you got saved, it was the Holy Spirit led you to this altar. And if it wasn't, you were not saved. If the Holy Spirit did not lead you to this altar, there's a good chance you may not be saved. I'm not going to say you're not saved. Only you know what was in your heart that day. Only you know you really meant what you said that day. Words themselves without the heart action. If the Holy Spirit hadn't convicted you and let you know you come to a place that you needed to change your life, Tim talked not long ago about repentance. It has to be true repentance. You've got to realize your life is wrong. I want to change. God, I realize you're the only way I can do that. He will convict you. He leads you to the altar. I can't do it. I'm not the one that does it. He just speaks through me. How many people has been in the church, didn't have a clue why they come to the altar, they just repeated something somebody said, but it didn't come from the heart. They didn't mean it. I hope I'm not misunderstanding what I say. I'm talking about a prayer just come out of the mouth and didn't come from the heart. You didn't mean a word of it. Now, I'm not saying anybody in here has that kind of experience. I'm hoping everybody in here had a real experience with God, that the Holy Spirit led you up here, you gave your life to God, and you're walking for God. So how do we know whether we had the real experience or not? You know, I looked up a lot of scriptures that talks about what it looks like for someone who is walking with God. I don't have time to do them this morning. But I can give you one good way. It's not the only way, and not necessarily, but this is a good way that you can look back and tell if that was a true salvation back then. Remember back when you gave your life to God. A year ago, 6 months ago, whenever, 10 years ago. Check out between now and then. Have you changed? Is there any change in your life at all? See, that Bible tells me that when the Holy Spirit enters a person, He gives them a whole new way of looking at things. A whole new way, outlook on life. I'm not saying you're going to be able to start doing everything right off the bat, because it's going to take a while, because God's got to do that in time. But when you truly have salvation, He puts it in the Holy Spirit gives you this desire to do the correct things. You're just not capable of doing all of them. Then you process day by day by day by day, removing the bad out of you and putting the new in you. Have you changed? That's one way you can look at it. Are you the same person you was then? Do you do the same old stuff that you did then? Can you sin every day and not feel guilty about it? Can you sin at all without feeling guilty about it? That's one way you can find, give you an idea of whether you're saved or not. There's many other ways. But you need to be in the Bible. You need to be reading the Bible on everything. Everything. Another way is, He said, my sheep hear my voice. They can hear me when I talk to them, and they follow. Are you following? Are you doing what He's asking this question? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you to do? Are you walking in obedience to God? Have you ever walked in obedience to God? I don't know. This is for whoever God's talking to. It goes on here to say, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. Now, I can tell you that there's some churches that don't even believe they're prophesying, don't believe in miracles, and don't believe in demons. So I'm going to bring this up to a better understanding today. Lord, didn't I come to your church every Sunday morning? Didn't I pay my tithes? Didn't I do all this stuff that churchy people do? Well, didn't I, Lord? What are you saying? He goes on, verse 23 says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. Why do you come to church on Sunday morning? Do you come to worship? Do you come to hear the word? Do you come to apply that word to your life? Do you come because you love God or because you feel like you have to? This is part of what a Christian is supposed to do. Is this like a social club to you? Or do you come because you know this is the family of God and we're here to help each other? We're here to help each other get through hard times. We're here to help each other get through places where we have a hard time doing what we're supposed to be doing. We teach each other the Word of God. Then he left there and he took me to a different place in the Bible. Matthew 25. Verses 1 through 13. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. I'm not going to read every scripture. I'm running short on time. But you can read them. They're right there. I will read part of it. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps. I will read it. Lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. You instead go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." I'm going to hold off on the next scripture for a few minutes. This is about 10 people. 5 was ready. 5 spent time with the Lord. 5 was filled with the Holy Spirit. 5 others kept putting him off. "Tomorrow, Lord. Tomorrow, Lord. I'll do this tomorrow." 5 didn't have a relationship with him. 5 was not ready. That's what the Lord told me. Are you ready this morning? Do you know for sure you're ready this morning? Because I don't want to leave you behind. I don't only want to see you here this morning. I want to see you when we get to heaven. And I don't want to be the reason you didn't get there. I will not be the reason. Are you ready? Each one of you got to make that choice or that decision. Amen? That last verse says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The day or the hour. But we can tell the time. And it's foolish to look around and watch the news and not know we're in that time. You do not know when Jesus Christ is going to set foot or come back down and call his children up. Are you ready? That is my question to you this morning. Are you ready? Now he went from there. He took me to the book of James. And this is what he showed me in the book of James. How many know that there's two kinds of faith? There's saving faith, faith that gets you saved, and there's a faith that don't save you. There's a faith in God that will save you. There's a faith in God that will not save you. Did everybody know this? Let me tell you the difference in those two. You go to the book of James. First, I want to take you over to verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." You need to be quick to listen this morning. Some of you may be sitting there and speaking real quickly in your own heads that what I'm saying is not, I shouldn't say. You better listen. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Meditate on what's been saying this morning. Move on down to 21 says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is in so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Which can save you. The word in you can save you. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Do what it says. Are you one that listens but don't do? It says here you deceive yourselves when you do this. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he has looked, what he looks like. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning, my hair is all messed up, I need to shave, I need to brush my teeth, you know. I could have went into the bathroom this morning, looked in the mirror, and seen how messed up I look, and walked away and forgot all about it. But it wouldn't look too pretty for you to look at this morning. When we look into the Word of God, and we see ourselves in there doing something that He says not to do, and we refuse to do anything about it, same thing. We got to be willing to live our life to what this Word says. Amen? Now you go over on to chapter 2, verse 14. "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" We're talking about a faith here. "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?" What good is this kind of faith? "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." There is dead faith. Faith that will not lead you to salvation. "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God? Good." You know, people, I can be talking to somebody outside the church, and they tell me, "Well, I believe in God. I believe in God." Well, that's good. That's good. Who else believes in God? Good. Even the demons believe that. And what do? They shudder. They believe too, but they don't belong to Him. Amen? "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? If you don't have action to go with your faith, you're spinning your wheels. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together." If we have real faith, it will move us into action. Amen? This is the way you test yourself. Do you have actions that go with this so-called faith that you profess to have? Do you live your life based on your faith? What kind of life are you living? "And his faith was made complete by what he did." What he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Your works, your actions means a lot. And he goes on to talk about rehab. So I'm here this morning. And I'm asking you, please, take a good look at yourself. Don't play church. Stop playing church. And be the church. Don't come in on Sunday morning and raise your hand, praise the Lord, and go out the door and live like a devil. Get into your Bibles that I've been pleading on you to do for so long. Find out what God has to say to you. Put it in your heart, not just here, and then let it go out here. When you put it in here, the heart, it stays there. You fertilize it every day, water it, you get into His Word, not just once a week, daily, day after day, like I've been telling you. God won't let me go past this until somebody listens. I don't know who. I'm sure there's nobody in here. I think I'm supposed to be in with the Baptist church. I'm not for sure. Because I know this bunch. God says we ain't got much time. There's not much time left. Do you have a loved one that you want to save? Or did you want to see saved? I do. Do you have a good friend that you know that don't know the Lord? I do. Well, if you want to see them for eternity, it's time to get busy. It's time to be Jesus. And no, we can't be Jesus, but we can have Him with us. He can show us how to act. He can tell us what to say. So when you got the Holy Spirit with you, and you got a relationship with Him, and you know how to hear His voice, and you know how to talk to Him, and you know how to hear what He's saying, He's there with you every day of your life, instructing you what to do. He's our Lord, not just our Savior. He's my boss. He tells me what to do. He's willing to tell you what to do. All you got to do is allow Him to. Ask Him. Ask Him anything you want to ask Him. Help me with this, Lord. If He don't give you an answer right away, don't forget what you just asked Him. He don't always answer you like this. Pay attention to the rest of the day or that week and see what happens. Sometimes it takes a while for the answer to get to you. Sometimes people just forget all about asking God what they asked Him. And when He does give the answer, they don't even notice. Give God credit for what He does. He gives us jobs. He gives us food on our table. He gives us clothes on our back. He gives us a home to live in. Do you thank Him? I'm talking about really thanking from the heart. Do you really believe that that's His doing? Or do you think you're just that great and you're that good at what you do that you was able to make your money and provide your own home? I didn't. He did it for me. He gave me the skills of what I do. He leads me in how to use my skills. And I thank Him for all of it. I thank Him for all of it. Is that what you do? Again, the title is God Talking to You. Only you know that. I can't answer that for you. Maybe nobody in here. I really don't think He had this sermon here for nobody, though. I'm fixing to open up the altar. It's for this. Anybody in here, if you know that you do not belong to God, or if you're not for sure that when you gave that confession that it was a real confession, if your heart tells you that you need to come and rededicate your life, or if you're not for sure and you want to make sure that you belong to God, this altar is open. If you haven't been walking with God, and you realize it's time to start doing what God tells you to do, this altar is open. Or for any other reason that you need to come up here. Would y'all stand?